Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
Are you okay with being part of a church that does not allow homosexuals to be in the clergy, and you or yourself are not allowed to officiate gay weddings?
I'm not happy with that part of our church, but I've chosen over the years to stay within it, hoping to work for positive change about those kinds of things.
That's Pastor David Weekly of Portland, Oregon. He was being interviewed on CBS's Early Show. He is a transgendered pastor. And you say, what in the world is that? It sounds like something from another planet. Well, look, it's not inconceivable. In fact, very recently, major denominations, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, among them, have opened their arms to gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered clergy. They're at least conceiving of the idea that they're going to be clergy who began as one sex and have at some point in their life switched, at least insofar as you can. Is transgenderism a sin? You hear a story like this, and I know what your immediate reaction is. It's going to be, well, this is wrong. This is a sin. Well, I want you to make the case. We're going to hear the story. We're going to hear the interview, and then I want to hear from you. Is transgenderism a sin? If it is, what should the church do about it? Because transgenderism, well, if it's just someone saying, I'm a woman trapped in a man's body or vice versa, that's one thing. But if someone has actually undergone the hormone treatments and the surgery, as has Pastor Weekly, then what is the church to do about it? Do we say reverse the surgery? Go back, live as a woman in his case? He's married. Are there other sins going on here too? 1-877-762-3693. 877-623-MY-IE. It's audio open lines this Thursday afternoon, October the 1st. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Or you can Twitter us with answers to those questions at IssuesETC, at IssuesETC. Here's an interview from CBS's The Early Show with Pastor Weekly and his wife, Deborah.
Extraordinary story of a Methodist minister in Portland, Oregon, who recently shared a secret with his congregation that he'd been hiding for most of his adult life. The Reverend David Weekly is transsexual. He was born a girl, but after a difficult childhood, he had gender reassignment surgery. And he joins us this morning exclusively from Portland, along with his wife, Deborah. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Reverend Weekly, let me ask you, I know that you began this transformation at the age of 21, first with hormones and then with surgery. Why did you decide, after keeping this from your congregation for 27 years, to finally reveal the secret during a sermon?
Well, I never viewed it as a secret. I viewed it as part of my private life. I had wondered if there'd ever be a time when it became part of my ministry. And a year ago, I journeyed with a large part of my congregation to a place called Minidoka, which is one of the sites of the Japanese internment camps during World War II. And it was there, listening to stories of people and hearing the power of their story and the healing and the hope that came from sharing story, that I began reflecting about the possibility of sharing my story with them and with other people.
I want to hear from you, because he came out Sunday morning. He said, this is who I am, in essence. I was born physically a woman, never believed myself to be a woman, always believed myself to be a man. And then when I was 21, I did something about it. Hormones and gender reassignment surgery. And he's been living for the better part of his adult life as a man. He's married. He's been pastoring this congregation. His congregation didn't know about it. His wife apparently did. They have kids. I don't know how they've had kids. I don't know how that stuff works. But is transgenderism, transsexuality, which was once something of, what, science fiction and strange stories, now apparently far more commonplace, is it a sin? If it is, I want to hear from you, and I want to hear your case, pro or con. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. If it's a sin, what should the church do about it when someone's already undergone the surgery? 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org. We'll hear more from CBS in just a moment. First, let's talk with Tony, calling from her car. Hi, Tony.
Hello.
Tony, welcome.
All right. Concerning the issue you're talking about, people getting the sex change and that, the big problem with that is anytime you have initial sin and find a condition or create a condition to make it all right later, then you're just denying it was a sin in the first place. Secondly, to be a pastor and holding that type of a secret causes in that position, you can take a congregation through years and you can filter their minds to go in all kinds of directions. And that's unfortunate to have that type of power over people and misuse it for your own personal advantage.
Okay, so
now, if you know, he picked the right time to tell them. What, a time when he felt that they would be comfortable with it? Well, look at the time that he had to start swaying minds and building up relationships and the false pretenses that he was straight and that he was who he says that he is. But the fact comes out now, it was really all a lie. And to have the nerve to say, this was my personal life. Pastors' lives are supposed to be an open book. We should be able to go on issues with your personal life. If you can't have your personal life as an open book, then you can't talk to anybody about their personal situations.
So you take transsexuality to be a sin. Where would you point to in the Bible specifically? I just want to get you on record here, Tony, to say this man is committing a sin. You've already mentioned that he's been deceptive about it. That's certainly true. Where would you point biblically here?
Well, biblically, first, we know that the Bible speaks a number of places against homosexuality. Okay? So now, for him to say that he always was, he felt he always was a man, but born a woman, if I got this correctly, and then had his sex changed, well, are we saying now that this man has tendencies to like the same sex, so he gets his sex changed, and now he can be comfortable with saying, no, I'm not that way? The other side of it is this guy promoting homosexuality now?
Okay, very, very good points. I want to hear from the rest of you. Now, Tony says essentially what's happening here is this is a mask for homosexuality. You can call it transgenderism. You can do all the surgery and the hormone treatments in order to pass or live as the opposite sex. But bottom line, this is homosexuality. Although it doesn't appear to be, it is. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943. It's audio open lines, issues, etc. On this Thursday afternoon, October the 1st, is transsexuality a sin? If so, what should the church do about it? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Kia in Birmingham, Alabama emails us, I hate to be insensitive to people who have who are in this situation, but I believe that transgenderism is a direct contradiction to God. When God has said that you are a man and a woman, and you decide that you are not, then you have called God a liar. This is no different than God saying, you shall surely die if you eat of the fruit, and Satan saying, no, you won't. It's always wrong to contradict God. It's always a sin, says Kia. What should be done, she asks. I think that what should be done is the same whenever we find that we are contradicting God and are convicted. We repent and turn from our sin. For transgendered people, that means accepting and celebrating what God has made you, being grateful and not believing that he has shorted you in some way, and learning contentment. Well, that's true, but he's had the surgery. Should he change back? Kia, thank you very much for the email. Thanks for listening in Birmingham. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org. Here's Kathy in St. Charles, Missouri. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering, I was thinking of it kind of like transgender or transsexuality, kind of as a fancy mask. I just wonder, in heaven or in hell or wherever they find themselves in eternity, are they going to still be taking the hormones? What are they going to be eternally?
Well, that's a very good question. I haven't even considered that. Hmm. I mean, Scripture is clear that in the resurrection, he says there will be like angels, neither marrying or given in marriage. But he doesn't say that gender or sex ceases to be. It's just that marriage will be superseded. So, in the resurrection, what would someone who contends that they were born a woman, became a man, or the other way around, what would they say they are going to be for eternity? Interesting question. Carrie in Minnesota says it's sad. They're not happy with who God created them to be. It's a sin because it's a focus on themselves and wanting to be a sex that they are not created to be. Would this be a sin against the first commandment? That is, you shall have no other gods before me. Also the second, as a lie. It's a forgivable sin, says Carrie in Minnesota, like all others, when they realize their sin and repent. True. What would repentance look like? Reversing the surgery? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. You see, several of our listeners have already pointed out that there's a deception going on here. To pass as a man or to pass as a woman, whether you believe you are or not, to pass as a man or pass as a woman, would repentance of transsexualism mean removing that deception if you had the surgery, reversing it so that you're not, in essence, lying anymore about who or what you are? What would you do? Here's a question for the other side of the break. What would you do if your pastor announced during his sermon on Sunday that he was born a woman? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. It's open lines. Thursday afternoon, October the 1st, here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Get in the action. Feel the attraction. Cover my head. Do what I dare. Wanna be free. Yeah. Feel the way I feel. Man, I feel like a woman.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/IssuesETC.
Treadmill for the mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
From my earliest memories, I always considered myself, felt myself to be a boy, and I use that language because I was a child, and that's the way I describe myself. My self-image was always that of a little boy. That's how I played. Those were my friends. It was only as I grew older that I began to understand there was a difference between how I viewed myself and how the world saw me.
It's Pastor David Weekly of Portland, Oregon. He announced to his congregation during a Sunday sermon that he was born a woman. He's pastored them for 27 years without letting them know that he is today kind of the product of gender reassignment surgery. What would you do if your pastor made such an announcement? And is transsexualism, transgenderism, a sin? I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live this Thursday afternoon, October the 1st. 1-877-623-MYIE. Or you can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. If you're following us at Twitter, we can take your comments there at @issuesetc. Joe's calling from his car. Hi, Joe. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, Todd. One question. Is there a scripture verse to say that it's a sin or not? I'm thinking of Old Testament verses about men shouldn't dress as women, vice versa, things like that. I don't know if there is that would really directly apply to it. And I guess I wonder, too, are we talking about something that is a physical disorder in the same sense that if someone was born with three thumbs or something like that, that there's a physical disorder? Could it be a physical disorder of the brain where their brain doesn't work correctly and so they have these types of thoughts? Or is it a moral disorder where someone is just wanting to do something that is against a commandment or against God's natural law that I would ascribe to? But I don't know. I mean, I got to hear a scriptural basis for saying it's a sin before I can get to anything else.
Okay, and thank you very much, Joe. I think you're right in pointing us in that direction. When Tony called earlier, I asked him for a Bible passage, and his response was, well, the Bible is replete with condemnations of homosexuality. Is that the sin we're talking about? Several have suggested here in our conversation so far that transsexuality, whatever else it may be, it is what, an elaborate mask for homosexuality. You can say that you're heterosexual if you say, I was born a woman, and I mean, maybe I cannot psychologize this or figure out how it works, but if you say, I'm born a woman, I became a man, at least physically, now I'm married, I live with my wife, I'm a heterosexual. Are you? If the essence of your sexual nature cannot really be changed by hormones or by surgery, isn't this really just homosexuality and a very elaborate deception to, what, either cover it up or justify it? I'm not quite sure. What do you think? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. And if the sin is, in essence, homosexuality, then, of course, we do have Bible passages, not just one or two, but many and several. So what's the sin here if there is a sin? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Back to CBS's early show interview with Pastor David Weekly.
And I know that you revealed it during a sermon during which I understand congregants were quiet, attentive, and afterwards, what was their reaction?
Well, I was told that afterwards people applauded. I don't remember that. It was a pretty intense time, but they were very supportive. And following the service that day, there were many, many hugs and time for conversation and questions.
Your church does not ban transgender people from joining the clergy, but they do reevaluate their rules every 4 years. Are you concerned that when that reevaluation comes up again, they might take this up and rule against you?
That is a possibility, and it's part of the reason for speaking out and being more public at this time.
Are you okay with being part of a church that does not allow homosexuals to be in the clergy, and you or yourself are not allowed to officiate gay weddings?
I'm not happy with that part of our church, but I've chosen over the years to stay within it, hoping to work for positive change about those kinds of things.
Mrs. Weekly, I'd like to bring you in. You have only known your husband as a man. When did he tell you about the change that he went through, and were you always accepting of it?
He told me about 6 months into our friendship, and I've always been accepting of it, yes.
Never any hesitation? Never questions?
No. David's one of the finest human beings I know, and I've always known him as a man, and he's a wonderful husband and father and an awesome minister. So I've never seen a conflict with it.
All right, that's his wife. She has no problem with it. The congregation has no problem with it. Is it a sin, transgenderism, transsexuality? If it is, what is the sin that we're talking about? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Keith is calling from his car. Hi, Keith.
Hello. Yeah, my whole comment on this thing is I really think that, you know, you're born that way. And, a lot of people, I mean, there is, okay, like back in the Romans, whenever the people were crazy and they're doing this, they're doing this in this big party atmosphere type crazy thing. But I do believe there are people that are actually born this way that they can't change the way they feel. If it's a sin, I'm not sure, I think it's a sin one way, but it's not a sin in a way if you're actually born that way. I mean, how can you change it if you're born that way, you feel that way, and you have no, that's the way you feel since you were born, then, I think people are actually born that way.
Keith, what if I say I was born with an inclination to abuse alcohol or something like that? I mean, they could find a genetic cause for alcohol abuse or something. Would that let me off the hook on drunkenness?
No, absolutely. I think that then you are an alcoholic, you are an addict, and I do believe people are born with that gene also, or whatever it may be scientifically, to where you are born where you're an addict, and then you have to stay away from alcoholism, but... that's just it. And then what do you do if you are born that way, and do you stay away from men then? If you're a homosexual, do you stay away from men your whole life? Do you start, I really don't know what you would do from there.
All right, Keith, thank you very much. What about the rest of you? Here's Annie in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Annie. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. I'm interested in the focus. Who's focused? He's talking about himself constantly, which is a form of idolatry. He makes his feelings his God, as though feelings were reality. His DNA, what does it say? It says he's a
Annie just dropped off there. It says he's a female, right, Annie?
Yes. The DNA doesn't lie, and the feelings are manufactured by a lot of things. Are you still there?
Yeah, thank you very much for the call, and thank you very much for listening in Louisville, Kentucky. Well, there is that element here that here is someone who says, I feel like a man, even though I was born a woman, and I feel like I want to live this way, feelings as a god. Here's Scott in Oakwood, Illinois. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Pastor. How are you today?
Very well.
I'm thinking back to the caller you just had that says that he believes that certain people are born that way. Well, I know of a certain way I was born. It's called sinner. I am a sinner. I was born that way. And, yes, I will sin. And this person has committed a sin against his own body, as laid out in 1 Corinthians 6. I'm specifically looking at verses 16 looks like 20. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one in body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body.
Scott, thank you very much. Our time grows short. Well, what do we say? Okay, certainly I think our listeners have put their finger upon, at least in some part, what the sin here is, essentially. What's being condemned clearly by Scripture is homosexuality. If this is an elaborate cover for homosexuality or justification, then of course that is kind of compounding the problem. The sins against one's own body, I mean, you could even go so far as to call this mutilation. Nothing changes from what God made you. And a feeling, God makes a woman, she feels she isn't a woman, one might wonder whether or not those feelings come from God or from someplace else. It's very difficult to trust feelings. They very quickly become our idols. Boy, it sounds like I'm talking about myself. I was born a man. I like being a man. I don't think I'm anything else. But boy, I have sins for which I have very elaborate justifications, very elaborate ways of hiding them and covering them up. I mean, it's never just one. It's always many. And when I see something like this, I say, wow, this is perverted, almost as perverted as me in my sin, because I find ways to cover it up and lie. One thing a pastor should do when he stands up in the pulpit each and every Sunday is admit to that. Guess what? I'm as perverse as the rest of you. I am a sinner. I find ways to cover it up. I want to stop lying. I need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ alone. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.